Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Sean. I'm assistant pastor at Guts Church. My wife, Tara, is out there taking care of your kids. She runs our preschool area, our early learning program. I help oversee just about everything else. So I enjoy it. I love being here. I've been at church for 19 years. This is home. I mean, this is home. My wife and I got, Pastor Bill did our wedding. All my kids have been here. They've all been dedicated here. I have five kids. They're 15, 13, 12, 10, and 2. So you guys see that gap? That gap is a big gap. It's called surprise. There's a curly-haired kid. I mean, he's curly-headed. If you haven't seen my two-year-old, I don't know who he looks like. I know he's ours, right? But, I mean, I'm like, who are you? He's different than every kid we had. He's a little bit, he's got like, so I have three older daughters. They all think they're like second parents, and they're not. But they might be better than I am. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they do a good job with him, but he's two, and he was our surprise baby. I thought I'll have all my kids out of the house by the time I'm 48. Now it's looking like 56. Good times. All right. A lot of 56-year-olds are graduation. I see it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you, and they give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work." And I love that because we get up here every time and we say, man, I want to honor Pastor Bill and Sandy, which I do. Man, I want to thank them. And this is why. Because the Bible tells us to do so. Man, Pastor Bill, this place wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy and the work they've done and the commitment they've made just to reach people in Tulsa. Man, just to have a life-giving church planted right here that helps people. Think about our distribution center, our youth services. Everything that we do to reach people is because two people stood up and said, you know what? This is what God's called us to do. And the Bible says to honor them, man. So this morning, all I want to do is I want to honor them. They're in Philadelphia with their whole entire family. They're having a good time, as always, and we're holding down the fort for them. But just they work hard among you, and they give you spiritual guidance. That's why we do it, man, because they've gone before us in a sense. They've set it up, man. It's them. There's a team of people here that are always working hard. So I just want to thank you, Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy. I'm sure he's watching. Everybody say hi, Pastor Bill. Everybody say we love you, Pastor Sandy. It's not that we don't love you. Okay, all right, and then I'm going to go on. And because it's Thanksgiving week, like literally, I was preparing a message. I was thinking, you got to say something about Thanksgiving, right? Like, you got to say something about it. So here's what I found, and also in Thessalonians 5, if you just go down to verse 16, it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." What's God's will? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in every circumstance and situation. Right? That part becomes difficult. But there's something about our Christianity that we have to be a thankful people. Man, it says give thanks in every situation and circumstance. Even if that circumstance has gone on longer than you thought it would, or it was a little bit harder than you thought it would be, the Bible says give thanks. Man, it says we enter his courts with thanksgiving, right? His gates. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like there's so much about it in the Word. So as you go into this holiday season, man, just be thankful for whatever. Man, it may not be family. It may be some stuff going on in your life. Find something to be thankful for. Man, just begin to thank God. Man, the fact that you're in this room, that's something to be thankful for. Right? We have friends that work overseas, and they go to places where everything has to be underground. We can't do this on a mic because people may come in and rush. That's crazy to me. Man, I'm thankful that we live, in the United States of America. We can get up and we can say, Jesus loves you. We say God has a plan for your life. We do it on a microphone. We can see songs about God being our champion and overcoming stuff, and we're not concerned with what might happen to us. Right? That's how amazing this is. Find something to be thankful about. Man, just make sure that you go into this week with that mindset. And I'm telling you, it'll change everything. When you're thankful, oh my gosh, what it does for you is unbelievable. You forget about the negative stuff, and you forget about the frustrating stuff, and you just begin, okay, God, what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for another day. Man, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this church. Man, just finding those things. So I encourage you guys, okay, that was all free. Now we're going to the message. The message is called Prove It. So when I was a kid, we played a basketball game. It was either horse or pig, depending on how much time you had, right? So you make a shot, somebody else gets a chance to make it. If you miss, you get H or P, whichever game you're playing, right? And the way we played it is when you got to the last letter, you had to prove it. Which was because, you know, some of your friends are making this half-court shot, like, I could do that again. Well, what happens on that last letter is you have to prove it, right? So if you throw the ball off the wall, off the ground, nothing but net, like only Josh Atkinson could probably do in here, right? Like, it's like the rest of us is like, if I do that, it's lucky. I definitely can't do it a second time. So what we would do is he would hit the shot, and if it was crazy, I would miss. I'm supposed to get my last letter, but we'd say prove it, and he's got to go prove it. So normally your last shot wasn't that crazy because you knew you'd have to prove it. But as I was thinking about this, there's so much in our life that is like that. That carried on to every part of our life. Like, if one of my friends said, hey, I just did 20 pull-ups in gym class, I was like, hey, prove it. Hey, I just did a back dive off the diving board. I'm like, you can't even swim. Definitely prove it, right? Like, there's no way, right? Because people tell stories, and all you're thinking is, prove it. Prove it. And I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm looking at this group of friends who don't love God and don't live for God, and I feel like they're just looking at me, and all they're saying is, prove it. Prove it. Prove that what you're saying just happened to you is real. And I can't prove to them by showing them my heart because they can't see it. I can only prove to them by the way that I live. So I have this whole group of friends that there was me and another buddy that we got saved about the same time. And, man, we're having, like, the best week of our lives. I remember we were reading John because we hadn't really read the Bible before, right? So we read John 1, John 2, John 3. I'm like, this is amazing. I remember we were literally driving to a town 45 minutes away, and we're just getting so pumped up about God. And I'm like, this is, who are we? Right? I'm like, this is amazing. And so now we're like 5 days in, right? We're like killing it. Like, we've had 5 good days of living for God. And I'm like, we're going to change the world right here. And he calls me, and his parents are going out of town. I don't know if you're ever in high school, when your parents went out of town, normally your other friends called you and said, let's have a party, because that's what happens when your parents go out of town. You high school kids that are in here, you don't do that because you love Jesus. But that's what you did when you didn't love Jesus and your parents weren't in town. Well, Corey's parents were out of town. And he calls me, right? We've been killing it for like 5 days now, so I don't know. And he goes, you may not want to come over tonight. I was like, what's up? So my parents are gone, and some of the guys are coming over. And I'm just thinking, like, we're doing, like, I don't understand. And I remember just thinking, I said, well, if anybody needs a ride, have them call me. So about 2 a.m, I get a call from a friend. I drive up, and all I'm thinking is, this is weird to be on the outside looking in. Right? This is different. And I remember I walked up, and they're all just kind of in the front yard, and I'm going to pick one of the guys up, and you can just tell they're lost. And I'd never seen that, I guess, because I was lost. So I remember walking up, I remember driving up, and I began to cry. Because for the first time, these are my friends, and they're lost, and they don't know. And listen, I've only been saved for 5 days, so I don't know much. But I just remember thinking, that's it. Like, this is the life that I'm going to live, and I'm going to do everything in me to help reach them. And then you wipe your tears away because you're 18, your friends can't see you cry. Get out, what's up? And he's like, you need a ride, jump in, right? Were you crying? No, were you crying? I wasn't crying. It's dusty out here where you guys live. And so you're thinking, prove it. Prove it. And I don't know why my story's related about basketball because I'm 5'6 and I'm not that great. But the only time I got to hang out with those guys was doing pickup basketball games because I was going to go to the parties they were going to, and they weren't willing to come to church yet. And we're playing. And normally I make it to play, but I missed this time, and so did my buddy. So we're sitting out, and he looks at me and he says, I want to give my life to Jesus. I've been saved, like, I don't know, maybe like a month and a half now, so, like, really killing it. And he goes, I want to give my life to Jesus. And I just looked at him and said, why? I wasn't sure the response or how you did that at that point, but I was like, sure, there's a story behind this, so why? Why do you want to give your life to Jesus? And he said, I took some drugs, and I was on a pretty bad trip, and I considered killing myself. And while I was sitting there, sitting on my bed, scared to get off of it because it felt like there was stuff all over my room, he said, I remember just praying and saying, God, if you take this trip away from me, I'll give you my life. And he said, it went away just like that. He said, and you were the only person I could think of to come talk to. And I said, well, I'm not that good at this yet. I'm going to take you to somebody else, and she's going to pray for us, and then we're gonna start walking this out. And he became one of my closest friends. We'd get together late at night, and we'd just talk about Jesus. And what you get to see here is my life had changed. I wasn't going up to them and saying, hey, man, you got to give your life to Jesus. I was just living like I'd given my life to Jesus. So when he had this opportunity, he's coming to me, and he's saying, I need to give my life to Jesus. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Because I knew who he was in high school, and he wasn't, I need to give my life to Jesus kind of guy. But God was beginning to do something. And so here's what I want you guys to realize this morning. This message is called Prove It. We get to prove God's goodness. We get to prove God's forgiveness. We get to prove God's promises. And I'm telling you, there's something about it that when he does that work in you, it's just like, this is amazing. It changes everything. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 7 in the New Living Translation says this. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees, which were the teachers, coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. This is John the Baptist talking. He said, "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." So John's calling him out. He said, prove by the way you live that this is real, that you're not just coming to get baptized because everybody's coming to get baptized, right? Because people are getting to know John. I mean, it's like a big deal. Like, people are coming down there, and he sees these religious teachers. He's like, man, you better be different after you do this, right? You better prove by the way you live that you've really repented of the sins and you've given your life to God. As Christians, we have something to prove. Number one, the word says to prove by the way we live that we've repented and turned to God. Whew. We get to prove by the way we live that God's done something in here. And I don't want that to feel heavy, because at the end of the day, God's the God of another chance. That's what Pastor Bill says, and it got me. God's not the God of a second chance, because that's just, we're knuckleheads. We need more than two, right? God's the God of another chance and another chance and another chance. A few months after Justin and I gave our lives to the Lord, I remember kind of making a big mistake. And I remember just thinking, why wasn't I hanging out with Justin? And why wasn't Justin hanging out with me? I remember thinking, it just messed with me, right? Like, I just thought, am I going to give God a bad name? That was my thought process. Man, maybe this Christian thing isn't for me. Maybe I'm just going to make God look bad. And I remember going to Justin. I was like, man, I got to tell you something. He's like, what's up? I said, I messed up. He goes, so did I. I was like, oh, thank God. And but I remember just thinking, he was carrying the same weight that I was carrying, and the enemy wanted us to feel like we were alone and we couldn't do it. I remember just sitting there talking and saying, man, we got to repent and we got to be with each other. We can't go back down those paths, right? Because when you give your life to God, you can't go back to the same places you used to go, right? You can't go back alone, especially. Think about Jesus. He rolled deep. He didn't go by himself. Man, there's always somebody with him. Unless he was alone with God, somebody was with him. Man, he grabbed 12 guys to go everywhere he went, and sometimes he just had the three with him. But, I mean, he went with people. And I remember thinking, this changes everything. Justin, if we're together, we're going to be good. When we're apart, right, and there's new Justins in my life, right? God, as I moved here to go to college, I met Jeremy and I met Chris Hart and I met Sean Shaver, and God puts new people in your life. But I'm telling you, when I'm with them, I'm not going to mess up. But I got to be careful, because the enemy tries to lure you back to those old places, right? He wants you to make those same mistakes. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 in the Amplified. It says, so produce fruit that is consistent with repentance, demonstrating new behavior that proves a change of heart and a conscious decision to turn away from sin. Number two is, the word says demonstrate new behavior that proves a change of heart and a conscious decision to turn away from sin. Prove. Just a funny word. That's all I could think of when I read those verses. All I could think of was, prove it. Prove it. I mean, that's how I grew up. Everything went from horse to every part of our life was prove it. Man, show me that thing in you is real, because my friends thought that's a phase. Chano's going through a phase. It's not going to last that long. Man, he'll be back around hanging out with us in no time. I felt like they were literally saying, prove it, because if it's real, I know I need it. But if it's not, I'm going to keep doing what I've always been doing. I tell you, time after time, different friends that came through and got saved. I tell you, time after time, about friends that just came around and they're just like, I can't believe that you're like this now and you used to be like this. It's a life change. It's wholesale. It's everything. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height. That's what I'm talking about. You guys like that? Doesn't matter if you're 5'7". It says, don't judge by appearance or height. So it don't matter if you're tall or not. You're called, you're called. You can be 6'3 and you can dunk, or you can be 5'7", just hit jumpers. Okay, don't judge by his appearance or height. Thank you, Lord. For I have rejected him, the tall one. I rejected him, the tall one. The short one, no. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I'm so thankful God looks at my heart, right? How awesome is that? When I came to this church, Pastor Bill flipped the scripture on me. I'd read this before. I remember thinking, God, thank you that you see, like, my intentions. You see what I want to do. You see who I want to be. God looks at the heart. This verse is two parts. A, God looks at the heart. That's awesome. We love that. B, man looks at the outward appearance. We are called to reach people who can't see our heart. Listen to that. We are called to reach people who cannot see our heart. They can't see what God's done in here. All they can see is the outward. All they can see is the life change. All they can see is we're willing to help now. All they can see is, man, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of this. We want to be part of a church that helps others. Man, they got to be thinking you're crazy. Who are you? All you're doing is proving what God's done on the inside of you. That's all you're doing. Prove it. Prove it. Prove what he's done because the world cannot see your heart. Be awesome if they could. It might be easier for most of you in here. Man, if you could just see how well-meaning I am and what God has done, he renewed me. He forgave me of all my sins. But they can't. All they can see is how we're living. All they can see if we're willing to help, if we're willing to lend a hand, if someone's calling us. That's all they can see. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 says this. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law? Now I'm thinking, is my phone on? Okay, I'm good. All right. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. We've heard that, right? And then it says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and second is equally important. And importance, that's the greatest commandment, but importance, the second is just like it, is love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two things, that if we love God and we love our neighbor. And here's how the Bible broke down loving your neighbor, the story of the Good Samaritan. So what happens is somebody said, hey, Jesus, who's my neighbor? Right? Because I naturally go to the guy that lives on my right and the guy that lives on my left. Those are my neighbors, my house, right? So he said, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. A guy gets beat up. They take all the stuff. They throw him in the ditch. And he's kind of left half dead. Not a good day for him, right? Bad day for him. And then it says, basically like a priest walks by, doesn't do anything. And then like a teacher of religious law walks by and doesn't do anything. And then a Samaritan comes by, cleans him up, puts him on his horse, takes him in. Man drops him off, says, man, hey, listen, I cleaned this guy up. I'm going to pay up front what he needs for this inn. And if you need any more when I come back, you know me, I always come back around here. I'll pay you the rest. And then Jesus said, which one of these men was his neighbor? Well, it's the one that helped. It's the one that was willing to do something. So he tells us to love our neighbor. We have to be the ones that are willing to do something. Right? So just realize that. That's what it's called. It says, love your neighbor. We become the ones that are willing to help, to lend a hand. As Christians, that's who we become. Because if not, we're receiving all this goodness and there's nothing flowing out. If that's the case, we become the Dead Sea. It's not where you want to be. All this goodness is flowing in and you're getting these messages and God's blessing you. All stuff's going well and there's no outflow. There has to be an outflow. There has to be an opportunity where you're helping others, where you now begin to minister to others. Where you begin, listen, it's not big things. Man, we have Friday groceries every Friday. We had a big Friday groceries this Friday. And a guy sitting on the front row right here, Mark Jackson, had his whole staff leave what they were doing at their work and come to Friday groceries and serve people. Man, we had like 500 plus people coming through the line. We're giving them groceries. We're giving them a meal. We're giving them water. We're taking care of them. I'm just thinking, that's what it means to help. Man, it's simple. It's not super difficult. Pastor Bill and Pastor Andy, they started this church. You're not called to start this church. It's already been done. But you can help with this church. You're not called to start the distribution center. It's already been started. You're just called to help at the distribution center. Man, that's all we do is willing. God, what can I do? How can I be a part of this? James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, says this. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Wow. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? I love the word. It just lays it out simple. Right? Like it just says, hey, listen, what good is your faith in Jesus? And you say you love him, and you say you love people, and you see somebody, and you walk by, and you say, be good. Be good. Be warm and well-fed, and do nothing. Here's what the Bible says. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself, it's not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. That's not me. That's the Word of God. It's saying, listen, our faith isn't meant to be run like that. Our faith isn't just meant to be for us. Man, our faith is meant to help others. Do you realize that God chose us to reach the people? He chose to use people to reach people. That's us. That's what we're called to do now. And you don't got to go be a preacher. Sometimes just helping your neighbor move in. Sometimes just helping get groceries to somebody who needs it. Man, if you don't know where to start, there's so many areas in the church where you could start. So I'm talking just working with youth, working with the little kids. All that stuff helps. What good can I do? What can I be a part of? Now, someone may argue some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Verse 19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. You just know the next line is going to be a dagger, right? Like, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Man, it's not enough to just say, you know what, I believe in God. Cool, so do the demons. And they tremble because they know how real he is. It's not enough just to have faith. How foolish. Can't you see that that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. Man, if you feel like your faith is missing something, I'm telling you, this may just be that you haven't been putting action to it. What am I missing? Man, what I feel like I've grown. I feel like I've learned. I feel like I've been sitting in the Word. I feel like I'm at church more regularly than I've ever been. What am I missing? Just some good works. Just some actions. How can I help? What can I do? Man, who in my world needs something? Man, there may be somebody sitting in your office right now, and they just need you to pray for them because they're going through a dark time right now. You just got to be willing to pray for them. Simple and easy. And you may be like me when I was young. I didn't know enough. Get somebody who does. I want to give my life to Jesus. Why? You want to pray? I got to find somebody who can pray for you because I'm not there yet. But I'm telling you, just being a part of all that, just being available to God. Verse 26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. This body, when I stop breathing, I'm done. The Bible says it's the same way with your faith. If there's no good works, it's useless. It's just not how God created it. We get the honor of serving other people. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. Jesus. Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the example of all examples, the one we follow, we give our life to, said this, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. We have to be the same kind of people. What can you be doing in your world right now to help others? Who needs the message? Who needs that life change that God has done on the inside of you? Who needs that right now? Who around you is just lacking and you have it and the ability to help? Just help. It's the little things. I truly believe that. I truly believe it's the little things. As Christians, if we begin to do the little things, it'll change everything. The little things. Right? The Bible says if your faith is little, he'll give you much. James 2, verse 14 in the Amplified says this. What is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. That's the Amplified. Genuine faith produces good works. When God's done something in you and he continues to do something in you, you'll find yourself having to fight to help other people. I got to help somebody. I got to do something. Somebody's got to know what God has done. James 2:24 in the Amplified says, you see that a man, a believer, is justified by works and not by faith alone. That is, by acts of obedience, a born-again believer reveals his faith. By acts of obedience, a born-again believer reveals his faith. So you realize when we're doing these good works, we're just showing people what God's done on the inside of us. Because remember, God looks at our heart, but man looks at the outward appearance. We're called to reach man. Man, God's heart is that no one would perish and all would repent. That's the heart of God. We're the vessels he's chosen to use. Right? We have to choose to step out and to do those things. It's not easy. It's not easy. I think back at moments in my life, the first time I prayed with a kid to give his life to Jesus. Man, it wasn't easy. I was so nervous. Why? I didn't want to mess it up because I knew what it did in my life. I thought, man, if it does that in his life, it's going to be crazy. It changed everything for me. Man, if you guys don't know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised going to church. I wasn't raised praying with my parents before I went to bed. I wasn't raised with my parents saying, hey, you got to read two chapters of the Bible every day and you got to read a devotional. You would have said, what's a devotional? I would have said, I have no idea what a devotional is. That's how I was raised. I don't even know what that is. I remember the first time I bought a Bible, I was like, $30 for a Bible? I thought they gave these out free. It was my man Gideon at. But so I just remember thinking, this is crazy. I had no idea. I didn't know anything. And just one moment changed everything. Not just for me, but my kids. They know life differently. They don't know life like I knew life. Man, they get the honor of living for God and being in a church that's just so amazing, that's helping raise them, that's helping make them into the men and women of God. It's crazy to me because of one decision I made. And then all I have to do is prove it. That's it. I just got to prove his goodness. I just got to prove his mercy. I just got to prove his faithfulness. Not that I didn't mess up. Just prove that a Bible says a righteous man falls seven times when he gets back up. That's what I prove. that I know how to fall, but I know how to get back up. Right? Some of us, you just fell and you stayed down too long. You just got to get up. That's what makes you righteous. It's not anything in and of us. So we got back up and we said, God, we love you. God, I need forgiveness. God, I repent. I turn from that and I turn to you. It's all repentance is. That's all repentance is. Man, some of you guys, that's all it is. You just got to repent from that thing you keep getting sucked into. Can I just tell you, it's not worth the life. The life of God is so much better than that thing you keep getting sucked into. Man, I'm so simple. This is all I would say is stop. You know where you go to mess up? Stop going there. Right? You know who you go with to go mess up? Stop going with them. I lost a handful of friends that I'd known since kindergarten. I lived in a small town. We all played sports together. I lost them. A few of them got saved, and it was great. But a few, I had to cut off those relationships, and it was hard. It was hard. But I just knew, man, if I go with them, I'll do that thing I know that I said I'd never do again. That's the decisions we have to make. God, you're bigger than everything. Matthew 5, chapter 14 says this. You're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is not about you being glorified. This is about God being glorified. When they see the change in Jeff Morris's life and they see the good that he's doing, man, if you don't know, this guy's here every Friday praying for the sick. That's what he does at Friday Groceries. Man, Ben Castagna, these guys, they show up every Friday. They're praying for people. So people are showing up for groceries. They're getting a message, an opportunity to get saved. Then they're getting prayed for if they're sick. Man, Pastor Bill sent me a message this morning that Ben Castagna sent him. He said, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us at the distribution center. I prayed for a guy who was blind in an eye. When he left, he could see out of that eye. He says, it's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Well, he said, I never would have had that chance if you didn't say yes to the distribution center. If you didn't say yes to helping the poor. It was so much bigger than helping the poor. It was so much more than that. Man, miracles of God are happening in that place. When people show up, they don't show up because they want Jesus. They don't show up because they want God. They show up because they're hungry. And they know we're going to give them some food. But they get so much more out of it. We're not here just to do those good works. We're here to point them to God. We're here to point them to Jesus. That they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It is not about us. It is about making him know. Last verse I want to share with you guys. Psalms 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and unfailing love, or mercy in a different translation, will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. That's what I want to prove. I want to prove that God's mercy and God's goodness has followed me all the days of my life. Not just the first 5 days I was saved, or the first 2 months, or the first 3 months, or the last 22 years, but all the days of my life. That his goodness, God's good. Man, I feel like I'm a pretty good dad, and it's nothing compared to how good of a father he is. He is a good father who loves you, who forgives you, and all I want to do is go prove it to people that he loves me so much. And even when I made mistakes, he gave me another chance. Man, that even when I fell short, he helped me up. That's it. Let's prove God's goodness. Let's prove his promises. Bible says he who promises faithful. We live in a generation that doesn't believe in promises anymore because they're always broken. Man, their promises are broken by parents, by teachers. Promises are always broken. But I can tell you, when God said he promised it, he promised it. He's not a man that he would lie. God is good. So when you hear the promises of God that you're healed, guess what? You're healed. When you hear the promise of God that says he'll provide, guess what? He'll provide. Man, when you hear the promise of God, you're just like, I just need peace in my mind. I feel like I'm going crazy up here. He provides. He gives you that peace. It's so amazing how in the midst of a storm there can be a calm, and it's Jesus. Life hits. Whether it's five kids, and you kind of did it to yourself, I guess, when you have five kids. But I'm telling you, sometimes it feels like, do we know which way we're going? And there's just a calm in the middle of it all. I remember when we found out we were praying the last kid, I just thought, how is this going to work? I mean, my wife was staying at home at the time, and I just thought, it doesn't work. Can I just tell you, God knew, and God worked it out. It just reminded me, man, I can't doubt. I have to have faith. I got to trust him every time. He who promised is faithful. What do you need today? What are you lacking today? God promised that it's yours. Quit talking yourself out of his promises. Quit talking yourself out of his goodness and his mercy. You're worth it. He gave his son Jesus because you were worth it. So whether you're sitting in the very back, you're not even sure why you're here, so you know that God loves you, that he loves you so much that he gave his only son, that you're worth it. Doesn't matter how many times you messed up, he gives you another chance. That's how good he is. That's how good he is. Let's just prove his goodness.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.